Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the TalkSport Daily Podcast, which, if you ask me, is one of my favourite podcasts out there. It really is up there with the best of them. Anyway, enough about me. In fact, no, not enough about me, actually. You can hear more of me in my favourite show on TalkSport, which is Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar from 10 p.m. weeknights. I know, move on. Move on to the good stuff, I know. And there is lots of good stuff in this podcast. And we begin with Alan Brazil. He was on The Breakfast Show with Ian Holloway. This is them two just talking about stuff.
And now, Adrian Durham, we gave him a bit of stick the other day, didn't we? But look,
he was going mental yesterday.
Was he?
Oh yeah, he was grinding his gears and everything.
Why?
Gracious, why? Well, just things annoy him, don't they? And he don't like VAR, and he said that is an accident waiting to happen. And
well, he explained on Drive yesterday why Jordan Henderson is a better captain than Steven Gerrard.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Three or four of the best players in the world right now at Liverpool. In Alisson, in Mane, in Salah, in Van Dijk, and they all look up to Jordan Henderson. He commands their respect. Now, he may not be one of the best players in the world, but in terms of leadership, he commands that respect among a team of superstars. With the greatest of respects, Steven Gerrard wasn't ever leading that level of player. He was leading players who were beneath him. So I think it's really important to establish just what a brilliant leader Jordan Henderson is.
Has he got a problem? Has he got a problem, I asked the team. They're all nodding their heads. What brings them to come out with some rubbish like that?
He likes to throw a spanner in the works, I think. Good old A, you know. And it's unbelievable listening. And, you know, it gets your blood boiling, doesn't it? Because you want to come back and you want to say something to him.
I'm not having a go at Jordan. Absolutely not. I think Kenny bought Jordan, didn't he? Yeah, yeah. I'm not having a go at him, but Gerrard was one of the special Liverpool players, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
And he was a leader, wasn't he?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. You know,
What's that Muppet on about?
He also played with Mascherano and Alonso, didn't he, as well? So, I mean, they're world-class, them two, so...
God.
Anyway, nobody's opinion's wrong, Al. You know, that's the beautiful thing about football. We all got one. Anybody, down the pub, wherever you are. No, and we're entitled to our opinion. And that's what I love about the game, because just because we've done it and played it doesn't make us right all the time, because everybody's allowed their opinion.
I agree with that, but Goffey's done both shoulders, falling off chairs with Durham working with him. He just falls off his chair. He can't believe what he comes out. Freddie Flintoff joins us from a sunnier climate. Freddie, good morning.
Good morning, Fred.
Morning, Al. How are you?
Morning, Andrew.
You're out in Dubai, aren't you? Tell me how warm it is. Is it beautiful?
I tell you what, Al, it's 42 degrees. I'm getting fleeced on the exchange rate and my head is redder than yours. I would sooner be in London stood in the rain.
With a pint in your hand. Oh, I forgot you've given that up.
Water's more expensive than beer here. It's better to drink.
Look, he's a top player. Don't get me wrong. Maybe the number one in the world at the moment. Smith, how would you go about getting him out?
I don't know, to be honest.
Without hitting him with a bat, mate, I know what you're like.
Yeah, I think, you know, food poisoning. but the one thing about Smith is he's a fine player. Archer looks like he's going to play in this test match, so we've got some pace. We've got some pace. I think we're going to try and ruffle him, upset him, try and take him outside of that bubble. I know cricket now is it's a bit nicer, but I think we've got to be aggressive at him. If you just let him bat, you see what he does. We've got to try something new. Be aggressive. The big loss for me was Jim Anderson in that first test match. I know he's got a different technique, but everyone struggles against a swinging ball. That's out of the equation. So I think our only hope in this one is pace and arch. And it's a lot to put on the young lad's shoulders, but he's going to have to go at him, I think.
Andrew, just tell Al, when it's raining at Lords, isn't Lords the best place in the world for it to be raining? Because the menu at Lords is fantastic, you know. I know you've gone sort of a bit like Ian Holloway in the gym and lost a few stone, but there's no better place, is there?
Ian Holloway in the gym. I don't want to picture that in my head. So
don't you start, big man. I'm getting ridiculed here. I'm 56 in the gym.
He's bench pressing 38 kilos now.
Yeah. Is he really? Did you wear his cap in the gym? Yeah.
Just because you're sponsored by Giacomo, you.
I'm Adrian Durham, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Following, of course, Alan and Ian from 10, it's Natalie and Jim, or should I say Jim and Natalie, or should I say White and Sawyer, which sounds like some kind of coffee mixture, which sounds like some kind of coffee shop. You know, you can have like a white coffee, or you could have a coffee with soya beans. Do they do soya? Doesn't matter. On their show was Trevor Sinclair, of course, scorer of many a goal, including, I think I might say, one of the goals of the season, when he slipped and both his legs went up in the air and he made contact with the football and it went in. Lucky goal.
Trevor, what's in your mind this morning? What are you thinking this morning?
Well, I mean, it's to do with what I've been doing the last couple of years. And it's the duty of care from football clubs for players they release, but not only that, for players that they're developing. And I think there's a big problem. Obviously, it's a hot topic, mental health.
Yes.
I feel players that might have been at academies for 6-7 years, dreaming of becoming a footballer, get to 16, don't get offered that scholarship, and they're just tossed away. No duty of care, not, you know, pointing them in the right direction, giving them that little bit of advice, hopefully having an affiliation with a non-league club or a different programme where they could go and continue that football. Because as we all know, there's a lot of late developers in the game. But not only that, it's the way we're developing players. Now, obviously, if you look at the top end, there's a lot of good footballers coming through in the England team. I think the ECCC does work and it's producing very good footballers. But for the lads that go on and play under-21s, under-23 football for year after year after year, I don't think it's serving them well. I don't think that they're getting the development that they need. They need to be playing open-age football, men's football. They need to be playing in front of fans who are passionate about that football club where they've gone.
Yeah.
They need to get different facilities, get used to crappy grounds with fans there, with managers desperate for 3 points. And I just don't think the under-23 football league is reproducing that. It's played very safely. I've been to a few games. It doesn't excite me. Everyone's fair. Everyone's safe.
Does it not have a competitive edge then?
It's not. It hasn't, Natalie. It's not good enough. And some of these players, you know, I don't like to talk about money, but they're on big money. They've not got any experience. And as soon as they get into an environment where, you know, there's fans that, you know, a couple of thousand fans there and players are going in for tackles and they haven't got a clue how to handle it. And sometimes this is like when they get to about 22, 23. It's too late for me. It's too late. And now I always look back at my own career for examples. And I was fortunate. I got into the Blackpool first team when I was 16, which was a great experience. But I'd be put in and then I'd be brought out for a little rest. I might have been struggling going into the Pontins League, which was a non-league situation with players that were in the Blackpool team but couldn't get inside. So you'd play with them. They might be 30-year-old coming back from injury. And you'd play in the Pontins League.
It mixed it up for you.
But it's still great experiences. I think that development is essential for young players and they don't seem to be getting it. And actually, I spoke to a few managers of academies and at pro clubs, and they're saying that they're speaking to the players and asking them, do you want to go on loan to a non-league club? The players are saying no. Now, for me, if I was one in that position and I was their manager, I'd be begging them to go. Yes. So you need it.
What was their reason for not going out on loan? Because you always assume that they want zone, to play Natalie. First team football.
They're in the comfort zone, Natalie. Right. You know, they've got beautiful plush surroundings. They're training with good footballers. It's all nice and, you know, civil. Mm. This is not football. Football can be very harsh. And unless the sooner you get used to that, the better, and it will serve you well going forward in your career. So that is my biggest gripe at the moment in football. It's a development, the duty of care,
yeah,
and the lack of experiences that young players are getting. And all of a sudden, they can't make it into the first team. They get released, 22, 23. They've still not kicked a ball. They've got no experience of playing first team football.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
And following on from Natalie and Jim, sorry, Jim and Natalie, I mean White and Sawyer, was H and J, but there was no H, and the H stands for Hawksby. Instead, it was a G and J, Goldstein and Jacobs. Anyway, we had some great guests on the show, none more so than a real-life doctor who came on to tell us about a study in which she found that watching football was good for your health. Now, I could have saved her a lot of time and money if she'd just phoned me up and asked.
We looked at blood pressure, we looked at heart rate, we also interviewed the fans, and we also did an emotion questionnaire. And in a nutshell, what we found was that heart rate did elevate. It particularly elevated after a goal had been scored. But ultimately, what we found was that it was really dependent on whether your team finished up with a win or finished up with a loss. And if you finished up with a win, then your blood pressure actually dipped a little bit. So
really?
Ultimately, that, you know, there was positivity around that. If you lost, your blood pressure was slightly elevated. But ultimately, the heart rate that you experience, despite fans saying things like, oh, you know, I've nearly died watching Sheffield Wednesday, or the stress of it, you know, I don't think I can cope with much more. The reality is your heart rate doesn't go up much more, really, than if you're on a brisk walk. Okay. And let's face it, if it did, we'd all be in the stands panting and, you know, leaning over and struggling.
True. And did you find a difference between people watching their own team and people watching, say, an exciting neutral game? Say, for example, last year, Tottenham and Man City, I had no skin in the game, but I went mad at the end of the game and got very excited. So I just wondered if there's a difference in that.
Well, we didn't actually look at that, because what we actually did was we just looked at Leeds United and we watched the last game, which was their game against Brentford, which unfortunately for them, Sheffield United had just won. So that meant ultimately they were in the playoffs. So as a result of that, going into the game, the fans knew that, you know, they weren't going to get automatic promotion, so they were a bit deflated. The next two matches that we looked at were playoff games, so obviously tensions were high. That was Leeds versus, this is back in May, that was Leeds versus Derby, the first leg of which, of course, Leeds won 1-0. So after that, there was, you know, dip in blood pressure. Yes, there was elevation in heart rate when Leeds scored. And the mood was excitement and expectation. Okay. Unfortunately for Leeds, the next match was quite dramatic, lots of goals. Leeds finished up not being promoted. Derby went forward to the playoff final. And there we saw elevations in heart rate, elevations in blood pressure. Again, not to dangerous levels. But what we did see, which was quite significant, was the mood. Mm. And the devoted fans, and they were all, you know, long-term or really committed to Leeds, they were depressed. They were angry, they were disappointed, and for some of them, that lasted for weeks, whereas when the team won, the excitement only lasted for a few days. So mood-wise, it can have a very detrimental effect on the fans.
Are they your team? Are you a Leeds fan, Doc?
I'm not, I'm a Blade. Sheffield United, up the Blades.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So did you compare your blood pressure levels to the Leeds fans then?
I didn't. I was too busy checking that everything was going on okay with the study. But also, it was a bit uncomfortable for me because, of course, we just won against Brentford. And so all the people arrived to take part in the study. So I kind of kept a bit under the radar. You know, I didn't wear my Sheffield United shirt for that one.
And straight after H&J, obviously, it's Drive Time with Darren Goff and Adrian Durham. This is them talking about stuff on their show. And yes, I did record this link before that happened.
We are going to do our top five Premier League era central midfielders. Not number 10s, not wingers, centre mids.
Number 3.
I've gone Yaya Toure here. I think he's underrated. I think because of the cake and all that sort of stuff, I think there's a lot of negativity towards him. But you're talking about the man who led Manchester City from the kind of mediocrity, if you like, to that, you know, era-making, era-defining side that was winning titles. He was instrumental to that. I don't actually think he gets the credit he deserves. My number 3 is Yaya Toure.
My number 3 is Steven Gerrard.
Oh.
Absolute game changer. He never won the Premier League, but they could blame the team around him. But he's an inspirational leader, a hero to the fans. In big games, he turned up and he could change a game in five minutes. Absolutely genius footballer. But he's my number 3.
Number 2.
Number 2 is Lampard.
Oh!
How can you not have someone who's the club's leading goal scorer from midfield? 211 goals. Absolute genius. Loads of trophies and success at the football club as well. Legend to the fans, super Frankie Lampard, is now back as manager of Chelsea. That's how much they think of him. He gets a lot of criticism when he was a footballer, and I'm expecting him to get a lot of criticism as a manager. But I'll tell you what, he'll do a good job in all parts.
Doesn't make my top 5, I'm afraid, Frank Lampard.
From midfield, the goal, 211 goals.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot.
From midfield.
It just shows that defensively, he wasn't the greatest.
He didn't have to be. Messi defensively is not great.
My number 2 is Steven Gerrard. Just edging out Jordan Henderson there. Listen, I just think his all-round ability and ultimately leadership. You know, there was so much to admire. You just loved watching him play. It didn't always work out for him. But, you know, 100% effort every single time, and top that with the quality he had as well. I think he has to be in the top 5 of pretty much everybody. So let's do the big one.
Number 1.
Who have you gone?
Roy Keane.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a Manchester United fan at all, but I could do nothing but admire him on the football pitch. Used to see him. He wasn't in there to make friends with anybody, whether it be in his own team, whether it would be in the opposition. When you knew you were going out on the pitch just before you walked out and you were stood next to Roy Keane, he'd blank you. He'd not bother who was stood at the side of him. He went out there, delivered on the pitch. Everybody respected him. To say he hated everyone, everybody totally respected him as a footballer, whether it be tackling at times or TT, right? The desire to win. He raised the standards at Manchester United. And well, as you said earlier, when Sir Alex eyes you as his captain, his inspiration, there's a reason for it.
It's very predictable who my number one is. Can you guess?
Vieira?
That's Michael Carrick, of course.
Oh!
And here's the reason. You look at all the Premier League titles, and in fact, he won the lot. Absolutely won the lot, including the Champions League. Even won the FA Youth Cup as a player. And I think the successive England managers ignored a player Sir Alex Ferguson regularly picked in his midfield. Now, here's the key to this. We will never know if this is true, but my belief is, with the players that we had, England I'm talking about, if Michael Carrick had been in that midfield, allowing Scholes, Gerrard, Lampard to flourish elsewhere on the pitch, I honestly believe we would certainly have been European champions. I believe we may well have gone on to win the World Cup. We'll never know. Nobody could say you're wrong. You can't. It's a hypothetical. I believe we would have been a much better team. We would have had a much better chance of winning the World Cup. But we'll never know. And that's the sad thing. And had we won the World Cup and had he been the main man who had allowed England to win the World Cup in that midfield, then he would be everybody's number one. Jay, Liverpool fan, what do you want to say?
Hello, you're right. So, number three is going to go to Fabregas. He's up there with Iniesta levels of superb. He was magical. Number two has got to be Lampard. I just got off his head again. Goal record speaks for itself as a central midfielder. And number one's got to be Gerrard. He had everything. Pass, tackle, free kick. There's nothing he could not do. Best midfielder the league's ever seen and possibly the world's ever seen. And one more thing, Roy Keane, he's just a rich man's league cat among me. He had nothing but a hard tackle in him.
Give over.
Nothing but a tackle. Bully, flat track bully, mate.
Amazing. It's a rich man's league cat among. That is the description of Roy Keane.
I'm Jim White, and this is TalkSport Daily.
And to round things off, of course, it was Super Cup final day. I mean, it's hardly a cup final, is it? I mean, it's not a competition to... Well, it is a competition to get there, but it's not the... Anyway, you understand. It doesn't matter. Liverpool were playing Chelsea. Here's some of the calls to the sports bar, the Andy Goldstein sports bar, that, of course, a show that begins Monday to Friday from 10 p.m.
Let's go to Robert, who's a Chelsea fan.
I was 5 years old when we won the title in 1955, right? Wow. Love the club. Jay, remember seeing you on your debut...
He can't do refunds.
I think it was against QPR, is that right?
It was QPR, you're right, yeah. You're right. So what, what do you want to say there, Rob? I mean, so you've been a fan a long time, so you've seen plenty of lows, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah,
you've
and seen plenty of lows. Lots of highs, right? Yeah. Now listen, we lost 4-0 against United at the weekend. We conceded two more tonight. We conceded another 5 in the penalty shootout. That's 11 goals.
You can't count that, Rob. Right? You can't put that in the goals again.
You can't do that, Robert.
Right? It's 11 goals with penalties.
It's not.
I'm telling you now, that job is too big for Frank. Let's go and get Jose. He's available.
Rob, do you know what?
Robert, honestly, mate, I know you've seen Chelsea through the dark days, but come on, mate. Why would you go back to Jose a third time? This is a new era. I think Chelsea, over the last two games, have shown this is a period of transition. It's a manager that's come in. He's prepared to give young players the opportunity. And Chelsea are going to go with this. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
The fella, let's not forget, he failed at Derby. His job was to get Derby up. And he didn't get them up.
I mean, it's harsh to say he's failed.
Rob, I agree with Rob. I think in the long term, it's going to be too...
Jerry, listen.
It's Perry.
Rob, I think it's going to be too much for him in the long term because I don't think he's got the experience and the skill set and he's come across things that he's never had to deal with before, okay? But tonight, you have to give him a bit of credit because he did change the personnel. Jason thought last night he might stay with Mount.
Right.
I expected it to start with Giroud.
Well, he put Giroud up front. He put Kante back in. He left Barkley out.
Why did he change it, Jerry? Why did he change it?
It's Perry.
Because after 65 minutes against Manchester United, everyone tells me we were amazing. So why has he changed it?
Well, he changed it because Chelsea have got a game on Saturday. Liverpool had two extra days of rest. You can't keep going the beginning of the season. You've got to freshen up. And I think he's been vindicated with his choice.
So if you're going to have VAR, you've got to have the stadiums with all the camera angles so they can
Yes,
make have it, a proper yeah. look at it and make a proper decision. You, yeah. you can't have a, you know, the Super Cup final and they've only got two camera angles. Mm. And the two camera angles that they had were from the side, the left-hand side. So you're looking from behind the goalkeeper to the other, and it looked all day long. And that's what you've seen tonight, buddy. Have a look, and honestly, you'd come online and you'll come back on the radio and say, I've actually had a look at it. Mm. He didn't actually touch him. So
I think Adrian right. yeah. said that he did, though, didn't he, in his interview? I think he said he did.
There's contact, but there's not enough. Anyway, I've got someone I've got to read out here. It was Goldstein that called up, was it?
Oh, was that the 11 goals?
Yeah, about the 11 goals, yeah.
11 goals, isn't it?
Is that the 11 goals, yeah. Apparently it was Goldstein, yeah. What an absolute...
By the way, just let it go.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
No, let it go, Ann. You're on tomorrow night.
Yeah,
you're right, you're back.
It's got to be centre attention.
Exactly, yeah.
That's it for another TalkSport Daily. I have to say, I don't know about you, but I have to say it's one of my favourite podcasts I've ever done today. Anyway, I will be back at the normal time and place where you can hear me on TalkSport, and that's weeknights from 10 p.m, and other people will be back at their normal times. And remember to hit subscribe, so when you do that, you don't have to do anything else, because you wake up in the morning and it's there waiting for you every single day, apart from Saturday and Sunday, but 5 days a week. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. There's no excuse. Just stop being lazy and press subscribe. Thank you.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.